collective path for the future while striving to meet the needs of today. It is a budget for an Ireland with a growing population, with full employment, with public finances in surplus and public services expanding to meet our country's needs. This positive position is the result of a balanced and planned approach to stewarding our economy and to the hard work of the Irish people. So before we look to the future, I want to take a moment to reflect on the last 4 years. A series of shocks from beyond our shores guided many of the measures taken in those budgets that I had the privilege of delivering since the election of this Doyle. Since 2020, we have faced unprecedented challenges and risks of economic instability. These challenges of a pandemic, war in Europe, spiralling inflation, they were external in origin, but they caused real impacts here at home, which we have dealt with due to the careful management of our country's finances. So before I announce the measures in Budget 2025, allow me to take a moment to highlight some of the lasting improvements that have been delivered, despite those many challenges. Our investment has resulted in 768,000 children benefiting from free school meals, 500,000 children eligible for free school meals, and 180,000 children benefiting from the National Childcare Scheme. A significant increase in expenditure in the health service, resulting in outpatient waiting lists reduced by 50,000 since 2021, and our life expectancy reaching 82 years, the sixth highest in the EU. 116,000 new homes delivered since 2020, and a record number of people in employment. Nearly 500,000 more than just before the pandemic, and a new public service pay agreement for our Gardaí, for our nurses, and for our teachers. So Minister Chambers and I absolutely appreciate the many, many challenges that are confronting so many of our citizens. We recognise the many difficulties that clearly exist. But here today, we make the case that Budget 2025 will make a positive difference to those difficulties, just as previous budgets have. Our strategy during this Doyle was to grow and to improve public services by increasing our spending by 5% each year. Given the nature of the challenges that we confronted, including inflation, including the pandemic, the 5% anchor was simply not appropriate to cover the growth and the expansion of our services that our country needed and needs. Instead, our government provided a robust response to the challenges that we confronted to ensure that the most vulnerable in our society were protected, that supports were available for individuals, families and businesses, from the pandemic unemployment payment to cost of living supports, that our economic growth was sustained, that it was strengthened, and that our growing population was provided for with investment in a higher level of public service provision. Our strategy was the right one. We made essential adjustments to it, depending on the particular set of challenges that we were facing. Not to do so would have meant not being able to protect, to provide for our people during times of the greatest need. I'm sometimes also asked, why don't we spend more of our budget surpluses? During the pandemic, to keep people safe, we had to ask people not to go to work. Hundreds of thousands of people became unemployed, with government spending billions of euros to support them and businesses during this difficult time. And then just as our country, as we were getting back on our feet, the cost of living crisis hit, and we were in a position to help once more as prices went up. That is the reason to run budget surpluses. It allows for flexibility and gives us a far better chance of being able to deal with the risks that we don't see coming. So every budget process is a balancing act. We are tasked with making difficult decisions, and we know that our choices have a real impact. And I am confident that the decisions, how we spend our money, investing our surpluses in the Future Ireland Fund, in the Infrastructure, Climate and Nature Fund, these are decisions that will greatly benefit our nation in the decades ahead. Indeed, our public finances continue to show strength. They show resilience. And Budget 2025 will build on the progress made in the government's previous four budgets. As set out in the summer economic statement, this budget sees expenditure of €105.4 billion. This is an increase of 6.9% on last year. And Ciarán Cóirlea, turning now to the specific measures of spending, we're all so aware that we are still feeling the impact of the external factors that I mentioned earlier. Although inflation has come down, thankfully, prices have been slow to follow. And cost of living increases of over 19% between January 2021 and August of this year have left many in our country worrying about their finances. While we have successfully insulated the lowest earning households from the worst effects of the price increases, this government is still conscious that prices remain high, and we remain committed to protecting the most vulnerable in our society through a series of supports. So Budget 2025 will include an energy credit of €250 for all households. It will be paid in two equal payments, one before the end of the year and one after. A further €300 lump sum payment will be made to recipients of the fuel allowance in November. An additional €200 will be paid to recipients of the living alone allowance. There will be a €400 payment to those who receive the carer support grant, disability allowance, the blind pension, invalidity pension and the domiciliary care allowance in November of this year. And to support parents, to support students, funding will continue for the school transport fee reduction and the state exam fee waiver. I'm also providing for the continued reduction of student contribution fees by €1,000, a once-off reduction of 33% in the contribution fee for apprenticeships and higher education, and an increase in the postgraduate tuition fee contribution by €1,000 for student grant recipients. And I'm also providing additional funding to support students at a time of increased strain from cost of living through the Student Assistance Fund. But in addition to those measures, which are temporary, to help at a moment of great challenge for many, I'm also pleased to announce a social protection package for 2025 worth €1.2 billion that is targeted to those with the greatest needs. So this includes an increase of €12 per week for an individual in receipt of a weekly social protection payment, further support to those with a disability and carers. I'm increasing the carers allowance means test disregard to €625 for a single person and €1,250 for a couple. I'm increasing the rate of the domiciliary care allowance by €20, increasing the carer support grant by €150 to €2,000, and I'm enabling the carer's allowance to be made a qualifying payment for the fuel allowance. To further support families and children, the following will take place. I'm increasing maternity, paternity, adoptive and parents' payments by €15. We're increasing the weekly rate of the increase for the qualified child payment by €4 for under 12s and by €8 for over 12s. We are extending the hot school meal programme to all remaining primary schools in 2025. And we're introducing a school meals holiday hunger pilot project next summer. And then we will introduce a newborn grant to an additional double child benefit payment in addition to the first month of child benefit. This will be a €420 payment to families for each newborn child. I'm also pleased to announce a further €1 billion for a range of cost of living supports, including an October bonus double payment for recipients of long-term social protection payments. Nearly 1.4 million people will benefit. These are our pensioners, those with disabilities, our carers, our lone parents, and those who are long-term unemployed. Cian Chorla, the ambition of this government is for our country to be one of the best countries of the world in which to be a child. We have made eradicating child poverty an absolute priority in the last 5 years, and we have delivered a complete overhaul of supports that are available to parents. Under this government, investment in early learning and childcare has increased by 95%, from €567 million in 2019 to €1.4 billion in 2024. Free GP care has also been made available to all children under eight. To provide further support to families raising children, two double payments of child benefit will be made to all qualifying households in November and December, and there will also be a double payment of the foster care allowance. To ensure that our supports are targeted to those families who need them the most, a €400 lump sum payment will be made to recipients of the working family payment later this year, and the budget also provides a lump sum payment of €100 per child to recipients of the qualified child increase payments. But when we talk about the future of Ireland, we are not just talking about our infrastructure, we're not just talking about our economy. Fundamentally, we are talking about the young people who'll go on to lead, who'll go on to look after our society and our country. So today, I am allocating €8.3 billion to the Department of Children, Equality, Disability, Integration and Youth, with investment in early learning and childcare increasing to nearly €1.4 billion. Funding for the National Childcare Scheme will increase by 44%. But what does this mean? This investment means that next year parents will see full-time childcare costs reduce even further by an additional €1,100. But in addition, the number of children availing of this scheme is set to increase to 216,000 in 2025. A €336 million increase has been provided for disability services to provide additional residential care beds, more respite, more home support hours, and a day service place for school leavers. We will increase the TUSLA budget to €1.2 billion to provide more residential placements, to increase therapeutic services, and to provide payments for foster carers for initial placements. But at the core of how we create a brighter future for our young people, for our country, is education. Developing a dynamic, an inclusive and an affordable education system, it allows us to build the Ireland of tomorrow. So that is why, in education, a capital allocation of €1.3 billion will support 350 building projects that are currently underway, as well as a further 200 new school projects. Budget 2025 will provide the funding for 768 additional special education teachers and a further 1,600 more special needs assistants. Building on the success of the Keeping Childhood Smartphone Free initiative, 2025 will also see the rollout of supports to allow our post-primary schools to do just that during the school day. This policy is about how we support the well-being of our children and how we give them the best possible learning environment. The budget will also see a substantial increase in funding for the School Transport Scheme in recognition of its importance in providing access for children living remote from the nearest school. Cam Corla, reducing the cost of education is a priority for this government. I'm providing funding to extend the Free School Books initiative to all transition, to all senior cycle pupils in recognised post-primary skills within the free education scheme. Yeah. And just as education is one component in ensuring a thriving country, so is feeling supported at times of ill health. In July, I reached an important agreement with the Department of Health and the HSE to provide additional funding of €2.7 billion for the health sector over 2 years. It provides a stable funding plan, bringing the total health education to €25.76 billion. We agreed that this additional funding would support better financial planning and governance, establishing a clearer link between this level of funding and the improved health outcomes that are happening. Our health service workers are central to this work. In 2025, the numbers working in our health service, not including disability services, will reach over 130,000 whole-time equivalents, an increase of 27% since 2019. The budget will also include funding for a range of new measures that will increase access, increase affordability, and increase capacity in our health service, including the following. The introduction of 495 new beds to our health service across hospital and community services, bringing the total number of beds to over 18,000. 600,000 additional home support hours and continued support for women's health measures, including increased access to IVF and hormone replacement therapy free of charge. This budget will also include funding to facilitate the continued development, the continued improvement of mental health services, as set out in the National Mental Health Strategy, Sharing the Vision. Implementing this strategy is an important commitment in the programme for government, and it's a huge priority for the government, the Department of Health, and for the HSE. That is why the funding provided in this budget will enable enhanced provision of services, including with regard to youth mental health services, counselling for the traveller community, suicide bereavement counselling, Cyber Safe Kids Initiative, and additional children and adolescent mental health services. This budget ensures that the health service is well funded, that it's able to deliver better access, better health outcomes into the future. And now, governments all over the world are encountering new, varied challenges linked to climate change, to public health, to our security, and more. We want to provide the necessary infrastructure, the right level of growth in our services to ensure that they deliver for all our citizens, whether they were born here or whether they choose to make their home here. This is an absolute priority for this government. The right infrastructure, in the right place, at the right time. Cam Corla, I'd like therefore to briefly address the funding arising from the recent decision of the Court of Justice of the European Union. These funds are estimated to have a current value of €14.1 billion. This is, as Minister Chambers acknowledged, a very significant amount of money. But we also need to recognise that this amount is one-off and that it is equal to the sum we are already planning to invest in the National Development Plan in next year alone. It's vital, therefore, that we make the best use of these funds, that we get the best outcome from the long term. And the government has indeed agreed the principles that these funds will be invested to expand our infrastructure for the future development of our country. we have identified water, electricity, transport and housing as the four strategic investment pillars. And investing in these areas will support not only the needs of our people, it will also help to assist in growing our economy, and it will help in meeting our climate and our nature goals. Officials from my own department, from the Department of Finance, are now beginning work on developing the framework for the use of these funds to ensure coordination with decisions already made in the National Development Plan. And through the record investment in this plan, we are now increasing infrastructure delivery while also ensuring value for money. We are investing sums well above the average in the European Union through the National Development Plan. A significant number of capital projects have already been delivered, including 500 kilometres of new walking infrastructure, 170 kilometres of new roads, and the expansion of public transport through the Local Link service. Today, I am providing an additional €1.7 billion in 2025 for more homes, for more schools, for improvements in our hospitals to tackle climate change. This will include an investment of €400 million in the National Broadband Plan. So next year, total capital investment will be close to €15 billion, the highest annual spend ever in our country. And as we focus on infrastructure, on the growing needs of our population, the most fundamental of these is having a home in which we live. So in Budget 2025, I'm providing over €7.8 billion to the Department of Housing, Local Government and Heritage, including a further investment of €3.2 billion in capital funding to build more homes, to address the affordability constraints for households. Of this, €2 billion will be available in 2025 to deliver 10,000 new build social homes. €680 million will be allocated to affordable housing schemes, supporting the delivery of 6,400 affordable homes in 2025. It will also support additional grants under the Vacant Refurbishment Property Grant Scheme to bring units back into use to turn them into homes. An unprecedented €1.65 billion in current funding will continue to support the 64,000 households in active social housing tenancies, but will also provide for an additional 7,400 new social homes next year, as well as continuing to support over 38,000 social housing leases that are already in place. And also 10,000 new homes will have their housing needs met under the housing assistance payment and the rental accommodation scheme in 2025. A further €168 million in funding to support the regeneration of towns of urban areas and to deliver the infrastructure we need to support the growth in their delivery. Support for specific categories of needs are also delivered in this budget, with €23 million being provided to deliver traveller, community-specific accommodation, and a further €100 million for grants to adopt the homes of older people and people with disability. I'm also allocating €90 million to retrofit approximately 2,500 social homes in 2025, demonstrating the state's commitment to help people reduce their energy bills and to ensure that our country can meet our climate targets. In doing this, the Infrastructure, Climate and Nature Fund is one of the funds that we have established to manage windfall tax receipts and to help us prepare for the future. This fund has two very important roles. First, to ensure that we have money to invest during periods when the economy isn't doing so well. And second, to invest in a climate transition to prepare and to make happen a greener future. More than €3 billion has been set aside for this second role between 2026 and 2030. We will shortly set out how this money will be invested to provide a clear and consistent signal to those who wish to invest in these ambitions. The allocation process will be subject to further work between myself and other ministers, and it will be used to support important projects that it can assist with the reduction of greenhouse gas emissions, improving our water quality, and improving and delivering our nature and our biodiversity objectives. So what this will mean in practice is it will mean supporting projects that help Ireland to meet our climate and our environmental obligations and our ambitions, including climate neutrality. This will improve the lives of the people of Ireland. And the further details on this proposed approach are set out in documentation published by my department today. It was therefore very positive to record a 6.8% reduction in Ireland's greenhouse gas emissions last year. We know we need to do more. And as we continue to invest in doing this, we will see further benefits. That will include warmer homes, less congestion in our towns and cities, enhanced biodiversity, and cleaner air and water. In support of these goals, capital funding for the Department of Environment, Climate and Communications has been increased to over €1.14 billion, allowing for record allocations to be made for investment in energy efficiency and renewable energy. Warmer homes funding will reach record levels, likely to reach more than 10 times the funding provided in 2020, which will increase the number of homes that are benefiting from deeper retrofits. Funding will also support up to half of the cost of energy efficiency upgrades being met by the state, complemented by loans supported by the state. To support our farmers in becoming more environmentally sustainable, over €716 million is being provided next year for those participating in agri-environmental schemes such as ACRES. Alongside this, the application of our carbon tax remains an integral part of our climate action response as a government. It will increase by €7.50 per tonne as part of this budget. But what this will mean is that it will bring the total carbon tax revenue that is available for investment to €951 million. Half of this amount goes to pay for the improved energy efficiency in our homes, an additional €89 million next year compared to this year. In addition, the carbon tax will fund €306 million of social protection spending next year, an additional €44 million for targeted measures, changes in the qualified child payment, increasing the income eligibility threshold for the working family payment, ensuring that the most vulnerable are protected from the unintended impacts of this tax increase. And as we seek to build on this, as we seek to identify ways to reduce our carbon footprint, one of the clearest avenues towards doing this is our transport system. A strong transport system is necessary for our climate ambitions, but also for our connectivity. A connected Ireland is a forward-facing Ireland. And that is why today I'm announcing €3.9 billion for the Department of Transport, with over €1 billion in current funding and €2.9 billion in capital funding. This will deliver more capacity on the public transport routes that we have, ongoing investment of almost €1 million per day in cycling and walking infrastructure, continuation of temporary fare reductions on public transport to the end of 2025, including the young adult card for 19 to 25 year olds and the 90 minute fare, free public transport to be extended to children aged 5 to 8 years of age, and a new and modern Coast Guard search and research contract. Additionally, I'm also pleased to announce that a financing agreement has been reached between the Port of Cork and the Ireland Strategic Investment Fund to extend Port's quayside berth at Ringaskiddy. This agreement, at €99 million, a financing, will allow the Port of Cork to develop the multi-purpose infrastructure that can help meet the needs of the offshore renewable sector. It will be and is a significant milestone in our ongoing commitment to deliver a greener and a more sustainable future. But a key driver of that greener future will be our agri-food sector, a driving force that supports communities across our country. And this is why I'm allocating over €2 billion for the Department of Agriculture, Food and Marine for next year. This shows the broad support of the government to all the sectors, ensuring that we support our farmers, our fishers, our foresters. This is because the agri-food sector is a core part of our rural communities and it is our largest indigenous industry. Budget 2025 will support an innovative, a sustainable sector that enriches our biodiversity, that protects our landscape and contributes to our economy. It will provide additional funding for a range of supports across sectors, including €30 million for a new tillage scheme to support farmers to plant their field crops, €10 million for animal health measures, improving biosecurity, €22 million for the continuation of the National Sheep Welfare Scheme into next year, and €8 million to enhance payment rates on the National Beef Welfare Scheme. Some €143 million of carbon tax funding will be provided to that department. It will help to continue to support our farmers as they work to improve our biodiversity, our climate, our air, and our water quality. This department will also administer over €1.2 billion of EU funding in direct payments to farmers. Ken Corlett, this government believes that the development of sustainable communities is necessary to drive enterprise growth, to increase remote working capability, but also, most importantly, to support our people in growing and flourishing. I'm providing €472 million for the Department of Rural and Community Development. This will help deliver important commitments set out in our Rural Future Strategy, in the National Development Plan, to promote social inclusion in both urban and rural areas. That department will have total capital funding of €235 million in 2025 to support the revitalisation of rural Ireland through schemes including the Rural Regeneration and Development Fund, the LEADER Programme, Town and Village Renewal, the Outdoor Recreation and Infrastructure Scheme and the CLAR Programme. But our ability to fund these schemes and all else in this budget depends on a growing economy. The enterprise sector lays the foundations for economic growth, for our well-being in the future, for our prosperity. We must also recognise the difficulties that businesses have been facing. So to support them, we're investing over €1 billion in the Department of Enterprise, Trade and Employment, Jobs and Enterprise Development, and innovation and regulation programmes for 2025, capital funding to enable IDA and Enterprise Ireland to provide additional environmental aid to their clients, and €7 million in additional funding to the department's regulatory bodies and agencies. Recognising that energy costs continue to have an impact for hospitality and retail businesses, I'm today announcing an energy subsidy scheme for these businesses worth €170 million. This will provide support to approximately 39,000 firms. This budget will also provide for over €4.5 billion to the Department of Further and Higher Education, Research, Innovation and Science. It's a further demonstration of the commitment that the government has to investing in our future. In my budget speech of last year, I spoke about the role of the National Training Fund in providing vital funding for skills, for lifelong learning, and I committed to further work on how we can build on this opportunity. Because as the House knows, that fund is in surplus due to the growth in the numbers at work and also the increased contribution that our employers are making through their PRSI receipts. So today I want to announce an almost €1.5 billion package over a six-year period to 2030. This will comprise both current and capital investment to better fund research, further in higher education, skills, development and decarbonisation. This multi-annual commitment will provide an increase in core funding to higher education by €150 million per annum. The main focus of this will be on meeting the funding requirements of our universities as set out in Funding the Future framework. So this in turn will deliver additional healthcare and veterinary places under the Expressions of Interest expansion programme and an increase in certain PhD stipends. The funding for further education will support €78 million for the continued growth of our craft apprenticeship system, a system that's vital to the future growth of our economy, and provide 6,800 apprenticeship registrations next year. Skill requirements in micro and small and medium-sized enterprises to build businesses for the future, as well as upskilling for the community, the voluntary and social enterprise sector, and the development of construction and the talent we need for a greener future through providing the people and the skills to address government priorities such as housing for all and the climate action plan. This government is also strongly committed to building stronger, safer communities, and with this in mind, I am announcing a package of over €3.9 billion for the justice sector. The record allocation available for next year will allow for a significant increase in funding for the Irish Prison Service, with recruitment of up to 350 additional staff, and also investment in areas such as prisoner care and their rehabilitation. The recruitment of a further 1,000 Gardaí and up to 150 Garda civilian staff, a significant expansion in the international protection processing system, providing 400 additional staff in this area, and an additional €7 million for organisations providing support to victims of domestic and gender-based sexual violence. We are working to maintain a safe Ireland, a secure Ireland, and to support where we can overseas. And crucial to this work is the work of the Defence Forces, for whom today I announced an allocation of €1.35 billion for 2025. This is a 22% increase in the capital investment to a record allocation of €215 million to enable the advancement of major defence equipment and infrastructural upgrades, such as military radar and subsea surveillance projects. In recognition of the significant transformation and reform underway in the sector, this allocation will also provide for the recruitment, the training, the support of a net increase of 400 Defence Force members next year, and investment in measures such as enhanced advertising for recruitment, equipment maintenance, and a new and improved Defence Force uniform. This increase builds on the increased investment of recent years and underlines the commitment that we have to the transformation of our Defence Forces through the work of the Commission on the Defence Forces and the Independent Review Group's recommendations. Ciann Corla, I believe that Ireland does hold a unique position in the world, where our culture, our changa and our artists are the beating heart of our society. There are record numbers of people visiting our national cultural institutions. Irish writers are some of the best in the world, the very best. They give us pause to reflect on the world around us, to make sense of us, or indeed, occasionally, to escape us entirely for a moment. And this is why, for next year, I'm allocating almost €380 million to arts and culture, €107 million to the Gaeltacht, to provide a wide variety of supports to our Irish-speaking communities in the Gaeltacht and beyond, €226 million to tourism, €325 and €28 million to funding in media, including €6 million for the independent broadcasting sector, and then €231 million in funding to sports that will benefit clubs and organisations in every corner of our country. Ken Corley, we can be proud of our tradition as a champion of peace and prosperity across the globe. We are privileged to live in a country that has robust and fair democratic systems, high levels of trust in our public institutions, and a strong economy. But this privilege brings with it the ability to invest in peace and development here on our own island, at home, in our continent and across the world. And our government continues this commitment across a number of areas. We will therefore continue to support the Shared Ireland Initiative. We will engage with communities to build consensus towards a shared future and deliver benefits for the whole island. This will be delivered by advancing strategic projects such as the Narrow Water Bridge, contributing to the A5 Northwest Transport Corridor upgrade and linked road projects in Monaghan and Donegal, and through co-funding of the Co-Centres for Research and Development with the Northern Ireland Executive and the Government of the United Kingdom. The Taoiseach, the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, have committed to resetting relations between Ireland and the UK, and we will allocate the resources to support this important work. Being a member of the European Union has been transformative for Ireland. It has given us a powerful global voice on the world stage. EU funds have contributed to improving our country and have invested in our people's future through education and training to improve their lives. And this is why I am providing significant additional resources to the Department of Foreign Affairs to commence the preparations for the very important policy work that will take place during our presidency of the Council of the European Union in 2026. I'm also providing an additional €35 million to support the Global Ireland Strategy. Next year will then see the highest ever allocation to overseas development assistance, when funding for international cooperation in the Department of Foreign Affairs will increase by €35 million to go above €800 million, €810 million. This allows us to invest in the programmes abroad that protect nature, that respond to climate change, and that provide humanitarian assistance to those who are so vulnerable. It aligns with the approach that we take here at home in helping those who have come to our country as a result of war, of poverty, of other global challenges. And part of our international role is to welcome those coming to Ireland who need our help. €2.1 billion is being provided to support accommodation for those fleeing Russia's illegal war in Ukraine and to support those seeking international protection. And in addition then to the core funding for rural and community development for 2025, I am providing €13 million to help integrate arrivals from Ukraine into our local communities. This will enable the social inclusion and the community activation programmes, who are doing such important work, to continue to support new arrivals and to support those already in our communities. I'm also providing an additional €25 million to the Community Recognition Fund to support those communities who welcome those who are in such need. But we know that all of this work doesn't exist in a vacuum. It's important that we recognise and measure the impact of the decisions that go just beyond their monetary cost or impact. So for that reason, my department uses performance, equality, green and wellbeing budgeting as a key component of our spending review process so that we can measure, we can judge the full impact of the decisions being made today. Ken Corla, we live in a volatile world. A world in which the pace of change is accelerating, the level of complexity is building, but the scale of opportunity is growing. That's why we must run budget surpluses. It's why we must set aside some of our country's money for the future. That is why we must invest our recent gains in the Ireland of tomorrow, not spending everything today, no matter how tempting. In my years serving as a finance minister for our country, I've led our finances from deficit to surplus twice. These healthy public finances have allowed our country to build more homes, to keep and create jobs, to invest in our future, in a greener future, and to improve our public services, all while we dealt with the crisis of a pandemic, of a war in Europe, and then soaring inflation. The politics, the economics of the centre, of a steady approach to the many and competing demands, of embracing the opportunities and the responsibilities of our role in the world, of supporting growth, of supporting jobs under this government, that approach is working. But let me be clear, making the case for progress is not the same as denying the reality of the many pressing problems that I know exist. This government appreciates the urgency of the challenges of today. We are working to meet them head on, but with optimism, with hope. I say to the Dáil, look at what our country has achieved in recent years. Look at what we have overcome. Look at what we can yet do. Look at what lies ahead. Our recent budgets, the choices that Minister Chambers and I are presenting today, have and will play an essential role in this, in lessening our problems, in pursuing the great opportunities that await, in building a better Ireland with a brighter future for all. That is why I commend this budget to Dáil Éireann.